Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our yearly cycle updates, where today we've got a special training on the Feast of Passover. So tonight, as I'm recording this, is the Passover feast, the Passover meal. And we're going to be taking a look, we're going to be going through some of the lessons that are hidden in the Feast of Passover. These are coming out of my book and my course, 7 Days with Jesus, on the section on Passover, just so much insight and revelation into all that Jesus has done for us. And we're going to be taking communion over this today. Just asking God for help to just receiving these promises from him, these insights and revelations, and to be activating them, to be walking in them from this point on in our lives. So the Passover story, you've probably heard the story. God sends the 10 plagues into Egypt, the last one being Passover. All the firstborn in the land of Egypt are killed by the destroyer. But the Israelites are kept safe. They stay in their dwellings and they're kept safe by the blood of the lamb. The Passover lamb is what saves them. So Passover is in the springtime. We're April 15th today. And it's a reminder to celebrate where God has brought us from in our lives. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says that Jesus was the Passover lamb. John the Baptist says, look, there's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And it's a reminder for us. Think about the Passover. It brought them out of Egypt. It brought them out of slavery. It was the trigger, the thing that initiated coming out and their journey to the promised land. It was the start of it. Colossians 1:13 says we should be giving thanks for being transferred out of darkness, released out of darkness, and transferred into the kingdom of God's dear Son, into the kingdom of Jesus. So when I think of Passover, one of the biggest things I think of is just an opportunity to give thanks and to remember, to put something physical with our remembrance, that we're remembering our sins have been forgiven. Jesus is the Lamb of God. We've been released from darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his dear Son. So in a typical Passover, the typical Passover meal is eaten reclined. Think of Jesus in the Last Supper. The disciples are reclined. And they typically have lamb with unleavened bread. Unleavened bread is a symbol of the righteousness of Jesus. And they typically have 4 cups of wine in a Passover dinner in the Jewish culture to symbolize that God is saving you. He's taking you out. He's releasing you from that. He's redeeming you. And for the Israelite people, he's taken you as a nation. We could talk about the kingdom of heaven now. They typically have bitter herbs and salt water at the meal to remember their bitter slavery in Egypt, to remember for us, we were slaves to sin and the tears that they shed during that time. So you have all this symbolism. And there's this emphasis on kids. In Exodus 12:26, God tells the people, so when you celebrate this Passover, your children are going to ask you, why are you doing this? He says, it's going to give you an opportunity to tell your testimony, to tell them about what God has done in your life, how he brought us out of darkness, how he brought us out of slavery, how he brought us out of Egypt. And they have this beautiful tradition in the Jewish culture called the Afikomen. During the Passover dinner, they'll take 3 matzah crackers, the big square crackers, the unleavened bread, and they'll wrap them in a white cloth or towel. And they'll take out the middle one. So think of the 3 pieces of bread, God the Father, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. They'll take out the middle one and they'll break that piece of bread. So think of Jesus as the middle part of the Trinity. His body is broken. And then they take that piece and they wrap it in the cloth or towel again. And then they go hide it. And the children that are there for the feast go running to find this piece of broken matzah cracker. And when they find it, the children are given presents. They're given gifts. So I want you to think about Jesus' body is broken. He's hidden in the tomb. But then he comes back to life and his disciples run with childlike faith to go find him. They go run with childlike faith. So all these reminders for us, these beautiful reminders hidden in Passover. Now, Passover is a reminder for us that the blood has set us free. You know, think about it. They took the blood of the lamb. They put it over the tops of their doors. Passover is about faith. It's about protection. It's about freedom. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So Passover, we have this reminder in the cup of the blood of Jesus that forgives our sins. It's a reminder of this new covenant that we have with God, that he set us free from the law. In the Old Testament, there were 613 laws that the people had to perform to be right with God. If they missed it in one point, they were guilty of the whole thing. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:56 that the strength of sin is the law. He says, I didn't know what it was to covet something until someone told me I couldn't do it. And it's this interesting thing that when you put rules and laws in place, it stirs up our sin desire to do the wrong things. And we have this reminder, we've been set free from that. We have this new covenant now. Just a couple rules and laws in this one. Believe in Jesus and love other people. He set us free from all those other rules and laws we had to perform to be right with him. And now we can be right with him through simply believing in his son and letting that belief flow through us in the form of love for other people. The difference between performing to be right to simply believing in him to be right, that he makes us right. That's the difference between the old and the new covenant. We have this cup to remind us of the blood of the covenant. Now, faith in the blood also provides protection. You think about the people, they applied the blood to their doorposts. And it protected them from the destroyer. It kept them safe. As long as they were inside their houses, inside the line of the blood, they were safe. In Hebrews 11:28, it says that they applied the blood by faith. Staying in faith in the blood of Jesus and what it does for us does something like put a hedge of protection around us. If we'll stay in faith, does something like puts a hedge of protection around us with borders and boundaries around us that keeps us safe. Faith in the blood does that for us. We have this reminder of this in Passover. Now, this is also a reminder of the power of words. The Hebrew word for Passover is pesach, which means talking mouth. It's a reminder to be talking about our testimony, to be giving thanks and gratitude for what God has done. But it's also a reminder of the power of our words. And I had a time in my own life when I was really first getting going with God, where he began to teach me about the power of my words. I was running my personal training gym business, and we had this habit that we would typically work out together, my staff and I, the trainers, we would all work out together. Well, one of the trainers said that they couldn't work out that day, because they had a hurt finger and a hurt pinky toe or something like that. And I was just joking around. I said, you know what? The next thing you know, you're going to have an infected eyelash. And sure enough, the next morning I woke up and I had an infected eyelash. And I just heard from God on the inside very clearly. He said, from now on, you need to be very careful what you speak, because your words have power. Words are an indicator of our faith. They let us know what we're truly believing in our hearts. Because Jesus says, out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. If you don't truly believe in the power of words, there's a great thing you can look at called The Hidden Messages in Water. It's a book by the name of that title, Hidden Messages in Water. And you can look at, they did experiments where they spoke different words over water, words of love and peace and joy versus words of hate and evil. And the actual molecular structure of the water changes under a microscope based on what's spoken to the water. One produces beautiful pictures. The other one produces very disordered, ugly looking pictures. All based on what is spoken over the water, the vibration that's going into it. And you think about that as a practical implication, that our body is mostly water. What are we speaking over? It's impacting our physical body. It's a reminder for us during this time of the year that gratitude is one of the greatest expressions of faith. One of the easiest ways to stay inside that hedge of protection is just to ramp up our gratitude, increase our gratitude every day. Now, this feast is also a reminder that the Bible is true food. The Bible is true food. It's a reminder that we have to have a standard for truth. It's interesting, when they were told to eat the Passover lamb, they were told to eat the entire lamb, every single part of it. Most of the other sacrifices in the Old Testament, there were parts that they were not supposed to eat. But when they ate the Passover lamb, they ate the entire lamb. And it says, after the Passover, after they celebrated, after they ate the whole lamb, there was not one feeble one, not one feeble person among the Israelites. Think about something like a million people, not one feeble or weak or sick person out of something like a million people, maybe more. This is a reminder for us that Jesus is the Word made flesh. He's the Passover lamb. He's the Word made flesh. We can consume his word. And his word becomes a standard for truth. It's a double-edged sword that becomes our standard for truth. If we're going to walk in faith, we have to know what we're having faith in. And so a way for us to apply this, start reading the whole Bible from front to back. Let's consume the whole thing, not just the New Testament. Let's consume the whole thing. Let's feast on Jesus, feast on the whole thing. He's the Word made flesh. It's also a reminder, as we talked about our communion meditation for today. I once had a mentor in the area of health and fitness that said, the first thing you put in your mouth every day influences your brain chemistry for the rest of the day. And one of our partners just reminded me of this yesterday. The first thing we put in our mouth, the first thing we speak every day, influences our brain chemistry for the rest of the day. Let's let it be gratitude and praise. Wake up, speaking God's word, speaking praise and gratitude. Also, the first thing that comes out of your mouth when adversity or pressure or things in life come at you, the first thing that comes out of your mouth sets the tone for how the whole situation will be handled. Because it's an indicator of our faith. It's an indicator of what we're believing in our heart. And Jesus had this first temptation when he was in the wilderness, this first temptation. Turn these stones into bread. Turn these stones into bread. And I believe part of the revelation hidden in that temptation is what's more important, spiritual food or real food? And God often uses food as a first test of obedience. Think about Adam and Eve. What was their first test? It had to do with food. When the Israelites came out of Egypt and they crossed over to the other side of the Red Sea, the first test God gave them had to do with food, about the Sabbath and not picking up food on the Sabbath day. He was testing them to see if they would obey him. God often uses food as a first test of obedience. Now, talking about faith. Passover is a reminder for us of faith, of our words, of gratitude, feasting on Jesus. And I truly believe faith and a positive mindset are very related. Some people have said faith is a positive response to negative situations. A positive mindset is responding to change in a beautiful way, maybe even initiates change because they realize that God built change into the world. A positive mindset has a bountiful eye going in and looking for all the things that are going right rather than all the things that are going wrong. Faith and a positive mindset makes you positive and adaptable and grateful. These are all reminders in Passover. Now, Passover, we also have a reminder that the blood has sanctified us. It's an interesting duality in the Bible. We have been sanctified, but we're also being sanctified. We've been sanctified, but we got to walk it out. We've been set apart for a purpose. And I believe God takes us through this progression. You see it in the Israelites' journey to the promised land of going from weak to strong to powerful. And I learned this lesson once I was teaching kindergarten Sunday school at church. And almost always there's going to be one kid in the class that's disruptive. And the majority of the kids in the class, he'll influence them to get off track. But on the other side, there will always be a few kids that are going to stay on track no matter what's going on around them. You have the weak, you have the strong, you have the powerful, and the battle is over the middle. It's getting to that place of powerful on the other side where we are sanctified and we're set apart. And we keep walking in that no matter what's going on around us. God has set us apart for a purpose. The blood has set us apart for a purpose. But God's got to take us through some on-the-job training. He's got to teach us and he's got to prepare us. But during this time, you're going to have a big appetite for learning and growth as God just begins to grow you and expand you, teach you and train you. But he sets you apart for a purpose. You know, one of the most powerful ways we use words is in prayer. And Jesus talks about, we're going to be baptized with water and baptized with fire. One of the most powerful ways we use words is with prayer. And Jesus said, you're going to give a new heavenly language. Be baptized by the Spirit. Now, for some of you, some people may not believe in this. I used to not believe in this, but God made it happen in my own life. In my walk with God, as I was learning about the feast, one of the steps that began to happen was began to get baptized, and the Spirit began to pray in other tongues. And it started as simple as this. I saw it in the Bible. I said, God, if this is something you want me to have, I'm willing to receive it. I would like it. And I learned this. What do? You just start speaking. Start speaking by faith. Now, do you have to do this? No. But it's a good gift that God wants to give us. It allows you to pray the perfect prayer every time without even knowing what you're praying. It allows you to pray for other people in a way that I don't know how to fully explain. There's been several times that I've been praying in the Spirit. I don't know exactly what I'm praying. And I'll begin to see people, like a vision of other people that I'm praying for. And I don't know what's going on in my life, but I'll give them a call and say, hey, I don't know what's going on, but I'm just want to let you know I was thinking of you, I was praying for you. And almost every single time that's happened, they're like, how did you know? I'm facing this issue. I've got this thing going on. And you called it just the right time. It allows you to pray the perfect prayer every time. And a lot of times they'll call right back and say, hey, that issue I was having just got resolved. Thank you for praying. This baptism of the Spirit can be a tremendous gift to other people. Something that Jesus made available. It's a form of speech that we have access to. Now, let's talk about some practical application for Passover. Number one, let's increase our gratitude. Let's increase our gratitude. And what are we giving gratitude for? Let's start with this. Thank you that you've released us from darkness. You transferred us into the light. Thank you that your blood protects me, sets me free, and sets me apart for a special, unique purpose. Passover is a reminder for us to keep a closer eye on our words, the things that are coming out of our mouth, especially when adversity hits. What comes out of our mouth? It's a reminder that first thing in the morning, let's start praising and thanking Him, and let's keep an eye on our words, especially when adversity comes. It's a reminder for us to feast on Jesus. Let's read the whole thing, front to back, the whole Old Testament, whole New Testament. Let's feast on the Word of God. Because when they feasted on Him, there was not one feeble one among them. It's a reminder for us to take communion regularly as a symbol of this covenant with God. This symbol that we have as a covenant of God. I think of Passover like a 10 times version of communion. It's like the yearly version of our daily communion that we do. It's a very powerful thing. And it's a reminder for us to just have that simple childlike faith that just simply believes God's with us, God's for us. And so, Father, we're just so thankful. We're going to take communion over this today. We're just so thankful that you are with us, that you are for us, that you released us from darkness and transferred us into the light. The blood of Jesus protects us and sets us free, sets us apart for a unique purpose that you created us for. We thank you for this new covenant that we have in the body and blood of Jesus. Just thank you. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, this is my body broken for you. Let's just visualize for a second. Stir it into our remembrance, all that he went through on the cross. Nails in his hands and feet, pierced in his side, smitten by God, crushed by God. It pleased God to crush him. Whipped, spit on, hit, crown of thorns on his head. But then on the other side, he came back to life. He was raised again, raised up to life. And because of his sacrifice, our sins are forgiven. We have this new covenant with God, this personal relationship with him. God is with us and for us. He makes us right and holy and perfect and sanctified and set apart. Father, we thank you for this bread. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. Then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." So much in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Father, we thank you for this cup. And ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take a juice. So let's use these next couple of days to just let this pass over time. Whether you have the actual meal or not, let's use this as a time to stir up our remembrance of these things. Are these days any more special than any other days? No. We can remember this all the time. We can remember these things every day. But we have an annual reminder of it just in case we ever get off track, just in case we ever forget. And I'm so thankful for that. We hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.